a reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. The priests and the prophets said to the princes and to all the people, "This man deserves death. He has prophesied against this city, as you have heard with your own ears." Jeremiah gave this answer to the princes and all the people. "It was the Lord who sent me to prophesy against this house and city, all that you have heard. Now, therefore, reform your ways and your deeds. Listen to the voice of the Lord your God, so that the Lord will repent of the evil with which he threatens you. As for me, I am in your hands. Do with me what you think good and right. But mark well, if you put me to death, it is innocent blood you bring on yourselves, on this city and its citizens. For in truth, it was the Lord who sent me to you to speak all these things for you to hear." Thereupon, the princes and all the people said to the priests and the prophets, "This man does not deserve death. It is in the name of the Lord, our God, that he speaks to us." So Ahiakim, son of Shaphan, protected Jeremiah so that he was not handed over to the people to be put to death. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord, in your great love, answer me.
Lord, in your great love, answer me.
Rescue me out of the mire. May I not sink. May I be rescued from my foes and from the watery depths. Let not the flood waters overwhelm me, nor the abyss swallow me up, nor the pit close its mouth over me. But I am afflicted and in pain. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God in song. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds, he spurns not.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria a ti, Domine.
Herod the Tetrarch heard of the reputation of Jesus and said to his servants, "This man is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why mighty powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. For John had said to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Although he wanted to kill him, he feared the people, for they regarded him as a prophet. But at a birthday celebration for Herod, the daughter of Herodias performed a dance before the guests and delighted Herod so much that he swore to give her whatever she might ask for. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and the guests who were present, he ordered that it be given, and he had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl, who took it to her mother. His disciples came and took away the corpse and buried him, and they went and told Jesus. Verbum Domini. Yesterday was an occasion of great joy for us here as we celebrated the solemnity, a great Franciscan solemnity of Our Lady of the Angels. Of course, we also welcomed our newest friar, Brother Pier Giorgio, as he entered the novitiate. And because it was a great Franciscan feast and solemnity, we had proper readings for the Mass yesterday. If it had been an ordinary ferial day, we would have heard from the prophet Jeremiah. And I bring that up because it's important to link to today's reading that we just heard. So in yesterday's reading for Friday of the 17th week, God gave a warning to the people through Jeremiah. And the warning was that if the people did not turn back to the Lord, if they did not follow God's commandments and his laws, that God would treat the temple in Jerusalem like Shiloh, and make the city of Jerusalem a name to which all the nations would refer to when cursing another. Just a simple reference, may what happened at Jerusalem, may what happened at the temple be done to you. And the people of Judah did not take that too well. Their response was to call for Jeremiah's death. "You must be put to death. Why did you prophesy in the name of the Lord, 'This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city be desolate without inhabitant'?" So what happened at Shiloh? Well, that was the site of the previous sanctuary of the Lord. That's where the Ark of the Covenant had been housed. But Shiloh was also linked to a very demoralizing defeat for Israel at the hands of the Philistines. Not only did Israel lose 30,000 soldiers in that battle, but they had also presumed upon God's grace, upon his help, by saying, "Let's take the Ark of the Covenant into battle against the Philistines." They didn't even consider their grave sins of their priests and their people. They had no desire for repentance or conversion. They just thought, if we have the Ark of God, we will defeat our enemies. And they were defeated quite badly. It turned out disastrous for them. And so not only did they lose the battle and lose many of their own soldiers, but even more demoralizing is they lost the Ark of the Covenant. That's when the Philistines not only defeated them, but captured the Ark of the Covenant and took it away from them. Remember, that was the mark of God's presence among his people. So the thought of what happened at Shiloh, when they heard that word Shiloh, there were strong emotions and feelings that rose up in them. And so strong that it led to the desire of killing Jeremiah for prophesying against them and bringing up the possibility that what happened at Shiloh would happen in the temple, where again, the Ark of the Covenant was. So in today's reading, Jeremiah defends himself when he's confronted with this death threat. He tells the priests, the prophets, and all the people, "It was the Lord who sent me to prophesy against you, against this house and this city, all that you heard." In other words, these are God's word. This is God's message. I didn't make this up. This didn't originate with me. God gave me this message to deliver to you. And he said to the people, "As for me, I'm in your hands. Do with me what you think good and right. But if you put me to death, it's innocent blood that you bring upon yourselves, on this city and its citizens." And we know that in God's providence, it was not his hour, it was not his time to pass from this life, so God spared him. And particularly, as we heard in the reading, it was through the intercession of a senior official named Ahikam to protect Jeremiah. But Jeremiah did suffer greatly for speaking the truth, right? For being faithful to the mission that God had entrusted to him. And his message was met with great resistance. Again, as we heard, even to the point of his life being threatened. But Jeremiah remained obedient to God, and he preached the truth in season and out of season. This is what we're all called to do. Another man who preached the truth in and out of season was John the Baptist, right? And that's the gospel we just had, the account of his martyrdom. And we're given details in the gospel as to how and why he was put to death. John the Baptist had confronted Herod about his unlawful union with Herodias, his half-brother's wife. So Herod, Antipas, and Herodias had each abandoned their spouses in order to be united to one another. Herod had considered himself a Jew, and the Mosaic law forbid the union of a man with his brother's wife while his brother was still living. This is exactly what Herod tried to do. And since Philip had still been living, John the Baptist spoke up and he confronted Herod about this. "It is unlawful for you to have her." And as a result, Herod had him arrested and thrown into prison. But his life was spared for a while. So there is that connection again between the first reading, as Jeremiah's life was spared. Again, it's all in God's hands, and it's all in God's timing. So for a while, John's life was spared. Because as we're told in today's reading from Matthew, that Herod wanted to kill him, but he feared the people. We also get a full picture when we look at all the Gospels together, right? And so there's another aspect of this, which is really important as well, that we hear from St. Mark's account of this. St. Mark says that Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was much perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. He knew that John was speaking the truth, and there was an interior battle going on. Herodias was a different story. She despised John the Baptist wholeheartedly. She only wanted his destruction and his death. And she was probably restless as long as he was still alive. Why? Because she saw him as a threat, right? She knew that Herod was wavering and that there was something in John the Baptist that Herod, there was an internal struggle going on. And she knew as long as John the Baptist is alive, there's a chance that Herod might have a change of heart. Maybe he would put Herodias away. So she sees the moment, of course, when we heard in today's gospel, when Salome danced and pleased Herod, and he rashly gave an oath that whatever she wanted, he would grant. Herodias sees that opportunity to persuade her daughter to convince Herod to behead John the Baptist. And Herod gave in. Again, we're told again about this interior struggle. We're told in the gospel account too that Herod was distressed when he heard this, right? He knew it wasn't right. So one thing we're reminded of when this gospel, whenever we hear this account too, is that, and it's good to be reminded because there can be a lot of pressure, that no rash oath, especially when with regards to sin, is binding on our conscience, right? We never have to follow an oath that would tell us to do something sinful. There's no binding force in a sinful oath. And so we can see that Herod sinned twice in this account. He sinned in the fact that he made a rash oath, but then he sinned even more so when he fulfilled that rash oath, which was gravely sinful. So as it's been said, Herod did wrong in taking such a rash oath, but he did worse in fulfilling it. And to think as well, with God's grace, this could have been a moment of great conversion. It could have been a moment for Herod to humbly and courageously stand up and say, "I messed up. I spoke rashly. This is immoral. This is unjust. I'm not doing it." Who knows? Maybe perhaps we would have a Saint Herod if he would have completely changed his life right then and there. But he didn't. He gave in to fear, and he gave in to this sinful request. He feared what his guests thought, and he feared his own reputation because he had made this bold statement. That he thought he might be considered less in the eyes of his peers. if he didn't fulfill this rash oath. So he lacked the fortitude that John the Baptist had. We know that there will be times when we must speak up and not be silent, and to do it always with firmness and charity. John the Baptist suffered imprisonment and martyrdom because he denounced Herod's action, which was a public scandal, taking his brother's wife. John the Baptist showed heroic fortitude, not worrying about the risks of confronting evil and what might happen to him because of it. And unfortunately, our society today has legally protected grave offenses against God and against the sanctity of human life and marriage. So we need an increase of fortitude, the fortitude that John the Baptist had, the fortitude that Jeremiah had, for the courage to speak up and not compromise our faith and morals. It's fortitude, which is a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's also a virtue. It's fortitude that strengthens our resolve to overcome temptations. Fortitude helps us to conquer fear and enables one to even lay down his or her life. It assists in fighting evil and doing good, which can be difficult. We know doing the good, making the virtuous choice can be very challenging at times, even heroic. And we're all going to experience moments where you have to make a decision. We have to make a choice to choose between virtue and sin. And it's the gift of fortitude that also destroys lukewarmness in our hearts. So if we sense that we're going through a period or a spell of lukewarmness, we can pray for an increase in the virtue and the gift of fortitude to overcome that lukewarmness, to destroy that lukewarmness in our service of God. It's fortitude that strengthens our souls for the practice of every virtue. So on this first Saturday of the month, which we honor Our Lady, in fact, we'll have our first Saturday devotion immediately after this Mass. We'll have a televised rosary. But we ask Our Lady's intercession, as well as of John the Baptist and the prophet Jeremiah, to pray for us, right, that we might courageously live our faith despite any opposition that we may face, to seek to please God in all things rather than man, and to live that lifelong call to conversion, right, that all the prophets called us to. So going back briefly to Jeremiah, there's a very encouraging line that God speaks to us when we do seek him above all, when we do seek to live that lifelong call of conversion and prayer. God says to us in Jeremiah 29, "When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you."